call me about making special arrangements. I'm available just about any time. I can also come to your house with my van and pick up donations. More volunteer helpers will be welcomed. The sign-up sheets are waiting for you in the social hall. Please see me, Kaz, or Esther with any questions after the service, though I will have to leave for my son's house about 1 o'clock. Thank you.
I invite you to greet those sitting around you. If you are visiting us today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table in the foyer. There is a variety of information available on that table about our church and Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to any that interests you. If you are visiting us with your children and are in need of childcare, the nursery is just out the doors to my right and across the entryway. Today's service is intergenerational, so the children will remain in the service instead of going to their religious education classes. We always enjoy getting to know our guests. If any members have brought guests today, we would be pleased if you introduce them. If any guests have brought themselves and feel comfortable introducing themselves, this would be a good time to do so. We would really enjoy meeting you.
Hi, I brought my husband Austin and my sister.
Welcome. 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 Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. Please put your cell phones on silence mode during the service. I hope you find this morning's service rewarding. Our minister will speak today about Mother's Day, and you will also hear from the two high school seniors here at LCUUC, myself and Jesse Duma, as well as the high school religious education class.
Okay, our opening words for today are from Song of Myself by Walt Whitman. I celebrate myself and sing myself, and what I assume you shall assume, for every atom belonging to me as good belongs to you. I loaf and invite my soul. I lean and loaf at my ease, observing a sphere of summer grass. My tongue, every atom of my blood, formed from this soil, this air. Born here of parents, born here from parents the same and their parents the same. I, now 37 years old, in perfect health begin, hoping to cease not till death. Creeds and schools in abeyance, retiring back a while, sufficed at what they are, but never forgotten. I harbor for good or bad. I permit to speak every hazard. Nature without check, with original energy.
Thank you.
Okay, now it's time for our chalice lighting and congregational response.
Shine forth through us today. May light of reason guide our way. May beauty, truth, and joy become a flame that burns in everyone.
Today we have a variety of special things happening, and the first event, which is very beautiful, is a child dedication ceremony. And from time immemorial, parents have come from their religious backgrounds to give thanks for the miracle of parenthood and to affirm their shared hopes and dreams for their children. And it is a great privilege for all of us to rejoice in the hope and promise which is resident in every child, and to seek that spirit of consecration which makes holy our joys and gives meaning and blessings to our lives and responsibilities. I would now like to invite all of the families and their children to please come forward.
The families with kids who are going to be dedicated.
Oh, right. Of course, the family with children who are going to be dedicated, please come forward. That goes without saying. They knew this, but the rest of you perhaps didn't.
I would like the parents to stand like this and the children in front of you.
Parents, by participating in this public ceremony, you invite us to share some of the joy and responsibility that is yours as parents. You seek our support in your dedication to the task of fostering, with love and guidance, the fullest unfolding of the personality of your children. We are honored to respond with a joyful yes to all that this invitation entails.
And parents, your job is the most important job in our society. Do you promise that to the best of your abilities, you will help your children to love themselves, to love others without prejudice, to gain an ever-evolving appreciation of truth and beauty, and to achieve a deepening understanding of how to live lives of good character and compassionate living? If so, please say, I do.
In our complex world, it is not possible for even the most loving and capable parents to raise a child alone. If our children are to become loving and independent adults, they will need the wisdom, counsel, love, and support of many adult friends. Will the congregation please join me in saying in unison our promise? The words are listed in your order of service. We welcome you, precious children, into the world of play and work, of joy and sorrow, of laughter and love. We welcome you into the larger human family. In you, we have a hope for a better world. In you, we all share new life. We pledge ourselves to your nurture by making our community a place where you may grow in knowledge, spirit, and peace. We wish for you joy and courage, passion and happiness as you live your life so full of promise.
And children, I will soon touch your young brow with water from nature's infinite sky, water that touches every shore and nourishes every culture of people. And in so doing, we invoke an ancient rite of consecration. And we welcome you to life and to our community, and we are grateful for your presence among us.
And I will give you flowers, unique in all their natural beauty, separate and distinct from all other flowers found in creation, to express symbolically our hope that the conditions of your life will nurture the unfolding and blossoming of your unique, special, and natural inner and outer beauty.
What name have you given this child?
Haley Alexis.
Haley Alexis, I will now bless you with water from the earth, and with this blessing, I welcome you into this congregation. What name have you given this child?
Madeline Rose.
Madeline Rose, with this water, I bless you from the world of the universe, and I welcome you into this congregation. And what name have you given this child?
Miles Cole Nurse.
Miles Cole Nurse. With this water from the earth and from all the universe, I bless you and I welcome you into this congregation. And what name have you given this child?
Hannah Vivian Yuan.
With this water, I bless you and I welcome you.
We have blessed these children, and we have dedicated ourselves to their care. May this occasion work its miracle in our hearts, that we may always be worthy of the promises that we have made to them. Amen, and go in peace and welcome. You may now go back to your seats. Thank you so much. The congregation is now invited to sing the first hymn of the morning, number 409, Sleep My Child, and I invite everybody to rise and stand as they are able.
Sleep, my child, and peace attend.
It is now time in our service for Story for All Ages, and so all of the children of whatever age are invited to come to the front, please.
Hi, you guys. Can you hear me? Is this on? All right, you guys, the story today is called The Runaway Bunny. Do you guys know this one? Someone heard it? The pictures are up there, too, so you can either listen to us and look at the page here, or you can look up there, and all the rest of you guys, it's up there, too, if you want to see, because there are lovely illustrations by Clement Hurd. And this story was written by the same lady, Margaret Wise Brown, who wrote Goodnight Moon. And my son Nate thinks this book, that Mama Bunny in this book is a helicopter parent. See what you think. Okay. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother,
"I am running away."
"If you run away," said the mother, "I will run after you, for you are my little bunny."
"If you run after me," said the little bunny, "I would become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you."
"If you become a fish in a trout stream," said his mother, "I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you."
"If you become a fisherman," said the little bunny, "I will become a rock on the mountain, high above you."
"If you become a rock on the mountain high above me," said his mother, "I'll be a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are."
"If you become a mountain climber,"
said the little bunny,
"I will be a crocus in a hidden garden."
"If you become a crocus in a hidden garden," said his mother, "I will be a gardener, and I will find you."
"If you are a gardener and find me,"
said the little bunny,
"I will be a bird and fly away from you."
"Oh, well, if you become a bird and you fly away from me," said the mother, "I will be a tree that you come home to."
"If you become a tree," said the little bunny, "I will become a little sailboat, and I will sail away from you."
"If you become a sailboat and you sail away from me," said his mother, "I will become the wind, and I'll blow you where I want you to go."
"If you become the wind and blow me," said the little bunny, "I will join a circus and fly away on a flying trapeze."
"If you go flying on a flying trapeze," said the mother, "I will be a tightrope walker, and I will walk across the air to you."
"If you become a tightrope walker and walk across the air," said the little bunny, "I will become a little boy and run into a house."
"If you become a little boy and you run into a house," said the mother bunny, "I will become your mother, and catch you in my arms and hug you."
"Shucks,"
said the bunny,
"I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny."
And so he did. "Have a carrot," said the mother bunny.
Thanks, you guys.
For the village that this church is to our families, we now take this morning's offering.
Good morning. My name is Jane Esmondson, and my sermon this morning is entitled Transitions. We come to church on Sunday morning to be inspired and to be reminded. Reminded of who we are and inspired to become who we want to become. Reminded that we all are the same and inspired to be more than the sum of our parts. We come to church on Sunday mornings to remember what it means to be alive and inspired to be the best we can be in the minutes and hours and days and years that lie ahead. Today is one such day of remembrance and inspiration. It is Mother's Day, and on this day we are reminded not how to be a better mother, but reminded to be grateful to our mothers and to all the mothers the world over. And we are inspired to be good mothers ourselves, but not only to our own children, if we have children, but inspired to be good mothers to all children. And by mothering, what is meant is to be a role model of kindness and understanding, of the good heart and of creativity, of strength and of reason and of unconditional love. It is a role of getting up every day and doing the hard work of being there, not merely by our presence, for that is not always possible, but being there by putting our children's best interests first and foremost, and sometimes having to make the hard choices for them that may break our hearts, but which is best for them in the long run. Being a mother doesn't mean that we will be loved or appreciated or understood. It is not a role of striving to be our children's best friend, but one of helping to teach our children well enough so that they can function in the world and that they themselves become good mothers to those who follow after. And so the generations continue. Being a mother means being brave enough to give all you have to give, knowing that in the end, all you have done will walk out the door. Being a mother takes courage. For a million times upon a million times, from first holding your child in your arms to giving them a final hug goodbye before they go out on their own, your heart will break with love and with concern, with fear and trepidation, with joy and hope and promise, and with the knowledge that you have done all you can and you hope that it is enough. As I was working on this service along with the myriad other people involved today, the question came up of where to place my portion of this service of transitions. And it was determined that my part should be right in the middle, right in the middle, flanked by the young children being dedicated to this congregation on the one side, them to us and we to them, and by the high schoolers who have grown up before our eyes, and finally, by the graduating high school young adults as they stand before us today. They will be telling us their stories for us to remember them by, and as they will now soon take flight away from us on the wings we've helped them strengthen throughout the years for their journey ahead out into the world. And we want them to go, and we know that they must. And yet we cry, come back, at the same time as we call out to them, goodbye. It is fitting that my portion of the service be in the middle today, because my part of the service focuses on Mother's Day. And mothers stand in the middle of all of this, flanked on all sides at all times by all children, not only ours if we have our own children. But we stand flanked at all times by all the children of the world. They are ours to care for and to care about. We as mothers stand in the middle of all of that, and we cannot close our eyes to their needs, whether great or small. We cannot close our eyes to their plight, to their health and well-being, to their sorrows, and to their joys. We cannot close our eyes to their suffering, nor to their hopes and to their dreams. Whether these children are ours or not, we want for them shelter and food and warmth and love and safety. Whether they are ours or not, we care. As the Statue of Liberty stands, holding her flame of light to guide people safely to these shores, as the Pietà weeps, holding her only son in her arms one last time, so stand mothers all, weeping, while we simultaneously hold our flames aloft and burning brightly, burning eternally with love for all of the children. Even when we are no longer in their sight, nor they in ours, the flame we hold aloft is there, never going out, the tears that fall, tears of love, unending. Today is our day to thank all of the mothers in our lives, not for perfection, not for only easy days of laughter and happiness, but we must thank our mothers for all that they did for us, for giving so much of their lives so that we had a chance at a life ourselves. What we then do with that gift given is ours to determine, and ours alone. Today we are reminded of this and inspired to become all that we can be. And wouldn't our mothers be proud of that? I end with the words of Ann Jarvis, who in 1905 began her campaign toward what has become a national and international celebration of mothers in honor of her own mother. And here, in part, is what she said. Mother's Day is to remind us of our duty before it is too late. This day is intended that we may make new resolutions for a more active thought to our dear mothers. By words, gifts, acts of affection, and in every possible way, give her pleasure and make her heart glad every day, and constantly keep in memory Mother's Day. And when you make this resolution, lest you forget and neglect your dear mother, if absent from home, write her often. And tell her of a few of her noble good qualities and how much you love her. A mother's love is new every day and is always, always guiding our way. And when Ann Jarvis's mother died, the bell rang in the church steeple 84 times for her age, and I will now ring our bell 12 times for the 12 months of the year when we never cease being mothers.
Morning. I'm Al, Mike, Liz, Greg Valdi. We had the joy and responsibility of working with the high school class this year. Pretty good sized class, 19 kids. Next year we'll have 26. Some of us have known them since they were the size that we're down here with the story. It's amazing. It's emotional for us to grow with your kids. We're going to do our very best in a short period of time to give you an insight into what we did with the kids this year, and they will, in their part, try to share with you some of the things that they thought about and have learned. The way the class was constructed was that Liz and Mike and I worked with a curriculum called Words to Live By, and the kids also had the opportunity to work with Greg on a regular basis, dealing with more of an open discussion on big questions and further insight into Greg's background, which is math. Sorry, psychology. So what we'll do at this point is we'll give you some insight as to some of the goals of the program, and then you'll get a bit of an insight from the kids as to some of the sessions that went forward. So, again, program Words to Live By, program goals to explore thoughts and feelings about one's life journey in an atmosphere of openness and acceptance, to reflect on our human need for meaning and its impact on personal health and well-being.
Thanks, Al. And the last three goals, to identify and articulate one's core beliefs and values and what has influenced those beliefs and values, to consider spirituality and religion, faith and death, and understand their roles in our search for meaning, and the last goal, to strengthen one's sense of purpose and meaning through the process of writing a personal credo.
So what we're going to do now is tell you a little bit about each of our sessions together, and I'm going to start off by telling you about session one. Our first session was about collecting with our life story and our sense of place in the universe. And so we asked ourselves a few big questions. We were looking back into our past to find those answers. So we asked ourselves, when we experienced the greatest sense of peace, contentment, and joy as a small child, when we felt most deeply connected to something greater in the universe, and we asked ourselves about some of the key life events that have had an impact on our understanding of our places in the universe. And after that discussion, we wrote poems together. And so I'm going to share a poem that two of our kids wrote. This is by Allie and Emma. Relaxing, sitting around, being outside alone. Death of loved ones, not thinking, brings inner peace. Catching up on sleep in class. Being a small child in love with someone who is a big, caring person, laughing.
In session two, we discussed a little more about our path and our life story, and we plotted out on a life map. It's a lot like a timeline where we put all these significant events in our past, and we looked ahead into our future, and we looked into what significant events might come to all of us. We analyzed what these events are and what effects they might have on our lives and what we can hope to gain from all this knowledge.
In session three, we discussed what we can learn by viewing our life as a spiritual quest, and we explored the concept of the heroic journey, which was the call, answering the call, facing trials and obstacles, and finding what we seek and returning home.
Actually, life, big questions, and wait.
In that session, we talked about ways that we can cultivate meaning in our everyday life. We also talked about what the meaning of life is and some ways that we can try and find out the answer.
In session five, we clarified our beliefs and values, and we wrote down things we admired in different people, including our parents, historical figures, religious leaders, public figures, friends, and applied it to our faith and our seven principles.
In session six, we talked about the difference between spirituality and religion and decided that spirituality is what someone's core truths are and their personal beliefs, and religion is a place you go to discuss and practice spirituality with other people.
In session seven, we talked about faith and doubt. We talked about the difference in faith and trust, and we had a really interesting discussion, but didn't really come to a total conclusion.
In session eight, we talked about how the Buddhists reflect on death to help them pursue life. And we talked about how thinking about death can help you live your life to its fullest and put your priorities straight.
And then in session nine, we actually wrote our personal credo. And we had a list of about 20 big questions, which we used to help us write our own personal credo. So an example of several of those would be, do you have a sense of calling, however vague, of something you need to do or express? And what do you believe is the purpose of life? And we discussed if our credos were actually who we are now or who we're striving to be in the long run. And we suggest that you all try to write your own personal credo as well, just for fun.
So you can see we delved into lots of discussion. This is an incredible group of kids. Your parents are to be applauded, not so much as the kids are to be applauded, however. Marvelous, insightful, sharing, open kids, searching for answers, willing to question. And every one of the sessions that we did brought up more questions and more thought. So it might be a curriculum, as Alex had suggested, that you adults might want to look into. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben, and thank you, Morgan, for the beautiful music and the high school kids. I'm definitely in on that class. We offer that. My name's Lynn. I'm a mother of three children. This was one of the biggest transitions in my life, going from being responsible for just myself to the health and well-being of little people. I don't think anything can totally prepare one for motherhood, and it sure was great to have this village here at LCUUC to help. A few weeks ago, I went to visit my daughter, Jenna, at UW-Whitewater. As I always do, I asked her if she needed me to bring anything. Usually her list includes grapes and nuts and candy and snacky items. But this time, though, she asked for something different. She asked me to bring her chalice, the one our church gave her 2 years ago when she graduated from high school. She said that most of her friends have things displayed that symbolize their religion, mainly Christian in nature, and she wanted to display the symbol of her UU religion. Thank goodness that she went through the senior transition program here, where she was asked to not only think about but articulate but what Unitarian Universalism, is and what she believes. Because guaranteed, when, with her chalice on display in her dorm room, she'll be asked what it's all about. Needless to say, I was deeply moved by her request. Today is a special service where we celebrate our two high school seniors, Rachel Fritz and Jesse Duma. Both young women have been active in our congregation and have spread their wings in many ways, including living abroad, Rachel in Budapest, and Jesse in Chile. They have completed the transition program. It's an optional, independent program here at church. Each of the girls chose a mentor from our congregation. Jesse chose Sally Pla, and Rachel chose Patty Walker. And I know they had a lot of fun together this year, and we'll get to hear a little bit about that soon. Perhaps the most challenging part of the program is writing and sharing their faith statements with us. This generation of millennials generally have answers to questions at their fingertips, online, in an instant. This question we posed to them, what do you believe relative to their spirituality, remains one of those questions whose answer is more elusive, less available with the click of a button. And the answer is not written in stone, but changes and evolves throughout life. The minister at Coral Fest a few weeks ago described UUism as a supple religion. I've never heard the adjective supple used to describe our religion, but I have to say it works for me. Thank you to Rachel and Jesse for sharing your faith statements. I know it's a bit of an act of courage to step up here to the pulpit, but we appreciate it. So listen carefully when they share these with us. They're always very inspiring. They have a lot to say.
Okay, I just want to say really quick, all the seniors for this service were invited to bring something from the past or something that was important to us to put on the chancel table up there. And when I thought about my childhood, I, of course, thought about my best friend, Claire. But I thought it'd be mean to make her sit up there the whole time. So we are just going to play a duet instead.
Illuminate the nose on their vacancy sign. your shoes are all worn down. The time for sleep is now. It's nothing to cry about, 'cause we'll hold each other soon in the blackest of rooms. If heaven and hell decide
I am the first to admit that I was not always one of the kids who jumped out of bed on Sunday mornings, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and ready to head off to LCUC for some good old spiritual exploration. Over the years, my mom has had the pleasure of basically pulling me out of bed and into the car in order to get me to the church on time. I can blame this reluctance on a teenager's lack of sleep and a big course load, but when it comes right down to it, I have only my laziness to blame. Uncovering my personal spirituality has not always been an easy process for me, and I have wrestled with questions about God and death and an afterlife, alternately straining in a search for answers and shaking in fear at what I might discover. Facing these big questions any time before noon just often seemed like too much of a challenge to contemplate on a Sunday morning. However, as time passed, and especially in the last year or two, I have come to discover that all of these questions are not the be-all, end-all in spirituality, that I can construct my faith without knowing the answers to these big questions. During this past year, as I have been pondering this very faith statement, I have found my mind drawn away from these questions to the few simple principles and beliefs that I have found to be true. A lot of my faith originates in the belief that everything is connected. Although I'm not sure in all my beliefs about God, I do believe that everyone and everything harbors a little part of the divine within them, whatever that divine may be, love, energy, or something more. Based off this belief, I believe that the golden rule and treating with the earth with respect are an act of spirituality, honoring the part of each of us that is one. On the other end of the spectrum, I believe in the power of the individual. By this, I mean that I believe that a single person can make a difference, and that everyone matters, from the most humble of beggars to the presidents and prime ministers of the world. Although I don't view happiness as the end goal necessarily, I do believe that everyone is entitled to happiness, and it is each person's privilege to go out and seek happiness. Because of my uncertainty in what happens after death, for me it is important to try to make the most out of the time we are alive, and wake up with the belief that our lives can be changed by our perception of them. As I was thinking about faith the other day, I realized that faith is what you believe deeply and passionately to be true, and that in writing my faith statement, I didn't have to look outward for answers, but rather within myself. However, despite this fact, I think spiritual growth is an ongoing, continuous process, and that faith can change every day to encompass new discoveries and questions. Right now, I would like to thank LCUC, so all of you, for helping me in my spiritual discovery. My experience here has given me a place to learn about other religions and beliefs, and a forum in which to discuss and ponder what they mean to me. I would also like to thank my mentor, Sally, for sharing this year with me. I had a wonderful time getting to know you, Sally, and I love the friendship we have formed. Looking forward, I am excited to graduate and head off to continue my education at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and my plan is to study anthropology, and from there, who knows?
I'm all verklempt. Jessie is an amazing, amazing young woman, and so is Rachel. This church knits us all so wonderfully together in new relationships. It's such a thing, such a new role and a new gift for me was to be Jessie's mentor. Getting to know Jessie has been a privilege and a delight. I've listened to her talk philosophy and politics and travel and family and about the joys and sadnesses and mysteries of living in far-off places, and I've been amazed by the eloquence and the wisdom and the strong good humor of this young woman. Through it all, I'm not sure what I've been able to give Jessie, but I know she has given me one especially magnificent gift through our wide-ranging talks this past year. It's the gift of remembering once more the power of that heady, thrilling hunger of youth, that conviction that life is a banquet hall where every door is still flung wide open, every conceivable feast of life ready for the sampling. As Pablo Neruda wrote when he was merely 80, I want to eat the whole world. I want to drink the whole sea. And I think that it is also a gift to realize that when we have been raised up in love and tolerance, respect, support, and nurturance, then this amazing banquet of life has the potential to always be with us. It becomes this marvelous, movable feast to nourish us lifelong. And so as Jessie and Rachel head off to begin their journeys through the whole world and the whole sea, I hope they know that they will be carrying the banquet of our love and our good wishes with them. This little church is certainly part of their movable feast. We are with them wherever they go in this wide world. And we are here in real time in this little round building, of course, for whenever they want to return. Congratulations and much, much love to our Jessie and Rachel, two extraordinary, eloquent, insightful, wonderful young women. It's a lucky world that's about to meet them.
When my mom first asked me if I would be willing to do a faith statement in front of the entire congregation for senior transition, I told her that I wished I could. I really did, but unfortunately I would be sick that weekend and would be unable to attend. Well, it took some convincing, but here I am today in miraculously good health. Religion is something I've always thought about. Being raised in the U.S. means you are exposed to books, videos, and stories of the Christian Bible. And, well, even at a very young age, the Bible story seemed ridiculously illogical to me. Take Noah's Ark, for example. I knew from my own backyard experiences, catching toads, salamanders, and worms, that it would be near impossible to capture two of every kind of animal in the world. I mean, really, did they honestly expect me to believe that Noah rounded up all these animals and got them to willingly march onto a boat, telling the rest tough luck before floating away over his own personal ocean? What's up with that? I've always been an incredibly logical person. My parents have been known to refer to me as half Vulcan, and things that defied logic were hard for me to believe. Some people think that all of us are indoctrinated with some belief system at a young age. I disagree. At least this wasn't my personal experience. When I asked Mom about the whole Noah's Ark story, for instance, trying to find out if I was the only one who thought it was a bit unbelievable, to say the least, she would only say, "Well, Rachel, some people believe it actually happened, and some people believe it is just a story." Wow, thanks, Mom. Sure, I appreciate this now, but at the time, I could only be annoyed about not getting a straight answer. So it was up to me alone in my Vulcan mind to come up with my own opinions about religion. Before I go off on a tangent, though, I want to touch on my religious background. As a young child, I did not go to church. Most of what I heard about the Bible came from our neighborhood friends and playmates, who are Catholic. This changed, however, when our playmates found out we were not attending church and began trying to convert my sister to Catholicism, telling her that since she wasn't baptized Catholic, she would go to hell and be eaten by flesh-eating worms. Mom felt that it was necessary to expose us to a kinder, gentler version of Christianity and whisked us off to a congregational church. We always got the most amazing chocolate donuts in Sunday school at that church. Oh, did you expect me to tell you about my religious experiences there? I'm sorry, I don't want to disappoint, but honestly, all I remember are the amazing chocolate donuts. They were really good donuts. Anyway, after seventh grade, we moved to Budapest, Hungary for 3 years, where the only two English-speaking churches to choose from were a Catholic and a non-denominational church. We weren't Catholic, so we chose the latter. Sorry. When we arrived, expatriate friends of ours greeted us warmly, and the service started with upbeat, inspiring Christian songs. I began to think this might not be so bad. But just as I had let my guard down and was starting to feel all warm and fuzzy, the preacher began his service. The Southern Baptist preacher began his service. My warm, fuzzy feelings were quickly annihilated, becoming cold, dead roadkill on the highway to salvation. The general topic of his sermon was that every single word of the Bible had to be taken literally. I heard about Jesus and another Ark story. This one as in Raiders of the Lost Ark of the Covenant, not Noah's with the nice little animals lining up two by two. Come to find out, God gave specific instructions as to how to move the ark. He said, do not touch it. Guess what happened? Someone touched it. And bam, God struck him down dead. I think it was at this point where the preacher actually hurled a chair across the stage for dramatic effect. But the sermon didn't stop there. Oh no. He went on to describe what would happen to you if you were to disobey the Bible. He described and acted out in detail the horrors of the fires of hell and the worms that will devour your flesh as you scream out, Jesus, save me! It was frightening. I may still have emotional scars from that service. Needless to say, we did not go back to that church. While the Baptist preacher failed to become my moral guide, perhaps nothing has shaped who I am more than my international experience. The small school I attended in Hungary had students representing over 50 different countries, and I had the privilege to travel extensively. I visited countless cathedrals, mosques, and temples in over 25 countries. International travel built my understanding of different people and cultures, challenged my existing perceptions, and exposed me to new ideas. For that, I will always be grateful. When we returned to Wisconsin, I was all set to forget about church. I had at this point outgrown the Sunday school class with the amazing chocolate donuts. Then we discovered this church, and I finally found the religion where I and my half-folk in mind belong. Like I said before, although church was never a big part of my life, I always thought about religion, as I never understood why people would believe things with such certainty that obviously were not true. But as I grew older, I began to realize that there was more to religion and faith in general than all that. Unitarian Universalism taught me that you do not have to blindly follow to have a faith you belong to. You can think critically and find your own answers. You can question. For that reason, I am glad I found Unitarian Universalism. It allows me to discover for myself. And as a senior, I'm able to stand up here and tell you what I believe instead of being told by someone else what I should believe. What a novel concept, deciding for yourself. Now, I don't know whether there is a God or isn't a God, and honestly, I don't much care one way or the other. I believe in reason, rational thought, the pursuit of knowledge. I believe in social justice and about caring for the planet on which we live. The existence or non-existence of a higher power would not alter these beliefs. Next year, I'll be continuing my pursuit of knowledge as a biology major at Grinnell College. I plan to join the UU student group there that states, and I quote, that they meet weekly for discussion, worship, fun, and games, which are, according to our beliefs, largely interchangeable. Sounds good to me. I'd like to thank Patty Walker for being my mentor throughout this process. She's a warm, wonderful, kind-hearted individual, and I'm very grateful that I was given this opportunity to get to know her. Thank you.
That was just so fun. Back in the fall when I opened Rachel's email asking if I would be her mentor, I was so excited. I'd get to know better this lovely daughter of my friends Terry and Mike, and I did. We had a great time together, meeting for coffee, dinner, a night of kabuki theater, a girls' night of jewelry making with Sally and Jesse, and a night of music at Arrowhead. We talked about lots of things, but the whole time, Rachel's primary focus was school. The Amnesty International group, which she started at Arrowhead, and deciding what college to attend next year. As I listened to her talk about each step in the application process and campus visits, I realized the values she was using to make these decisions, the underlying beliefs motivating her to study science, and her passion for social justice were outward expressions of her UU faith. In her careful and considered way, she ultimately chose Grinnell College, and I can see why. This progressive liberal college has much in common with our liberal religion. I thank Rachel for the time we shared and wish her well in her transition from high school to college and from LCUUC to the UU campus ministry at Grinnell.
Thank you all for sharing. They were wonderful words and really entertaining. Our congregation has a few gifts for our seniors, so if you don't mind coming up. We've got our chalice that you can display prominently in your dorm room with our LCUC emblem. And then we're giving the seniors the book, A Chosen Faith, which is a highly recommended read for everyone. So, yeah, here you go. Here you go. We really look forward to your visits in the upcoming years to your home congregation here. I have just a few words to share. They're written by W.S. Merwin. You are going for a time, and nobody knows what to expect. We are trying to learn not to accompany gifts with advice or to suppose that we can protect you from being changed by something that we do not know. Even by the sea that we love, with its breaking and the dissolving days and the shadows on the wall. Together we look at the young trees, we read the news, we smell the morning. We cannot tell you what to take with you in your light baggage. We'd like to sing you to a song right now that was written especially for our graduating seniors. Please join us in singing to Rachel and Jesse. The words are in your order of service.
The closing words today are from The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. And a woman who held a babe against her bosom said, "Speak to us of children." And he said, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable."